Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and I am joined by the J-Squared contingent, Mr. Jeffrey to my left, Mr. Jason Tross to my right, and we are ready to navigate today's program. I want to encourage you, as most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, that you do so with full intentionality to make sure we are battening down the hatches. Because if you haven't noticed yet, the enemy is taking no prisoners out in our culture. They have people who, as Jesus said, they once, referring to Demas, Demas left us because he loved the world. We have people that are really dropping, falling away from the faith in mass numbers. And so I want to encourage you to serve your families well, first and foremost, being an example of what it is to be a Christ follower. Let us love the Lord with all of our hearts, souls, minds, and strength first, and then let us be advocates for that, evangelizing and making disciples, beginning with our own family. I want to remind you to mark your calendars June 20th through the 22nd at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi. We will have the second annual. I probably shouldn't say annual, but I'll say the second. I don't know if it's going to be annual, but it'll be the second Marriage, Family, and Life Conference, sponsored by the American Family Association and Urban Family Communications. It will include wonderful speakers like Miki Addison. You will have an apologetics presentation offered by J. Warner Wallace and his wife, both in the main plenary sessions, as well as in our children's apologetics track. A unique feature of this conference, because the goal is for the conference to be an event for the entire family, where the entire family can be equipped. And so in the children's apologetics track, J. Warner Wallace, cold case detective from Los Angeles, will present an apologetics, make an apologetics presentation to the children as well. You do not want to miss that. I also will speak at the conference, and the theme of this year's conference is Hold the Line. Hold the Line. And isn't that appropriate for what we're facing? So mark your calendars, June 20th through the 22nd in Tupelo, Mississippi, the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference at Hope Church. You can go to urbanfamilytalk.com for more details and in the register. Registration is available now, so you can go ahead and start. I heard a call today. Somebody was calling to AFR headquarters saying that I'm coming to the conference. And it was a New Orleanian. I said, all right now. Yeah, hey, Cher. Hey, Cher, come on down. It's going to be a tremendous time, and so I'm looking forward to it. I look forward to seeing each and every one of you there. If you were there last year, you already know it's going down. And this year is going to be even better than it was last year. Well, today, I am going to jump into, I have a lot of scripture to read, just because I feel like the Word of God can speak for itself better than I can summarize some of this stuff. But I'm going to talk about the Jesus' encounter with Cleopas and his companion on the road to Emmaus from Luke chapter 24. The verses are verses 13 through 35, and I have two major points I want to make from this text in this first segment. Luke chapter 24, verses 34 through 35. Where we are, this is post-resurrection, post-Jesus' resurrection. And they have two men who were Jesus' companions who were in Jerusalem initially, were there when Jesus was crucified, and then they start on this journey. The Bible tells us it is a seven-mile walk. Think about this. A seven-mile walk away from Jerusalem toward Emmaus. And then Jesus, who's now in resurrected form, in glorified form, rose up beside them and accompanies them on this seven-mile journey. And so we're going to dig into this. This is one of the iterations. I referred to this before in Acts chapter 1. Luke records Jesus post-resurrection spending 40 days showing convincing proofs of his resurrection. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 picks up on the fact that Jesus showed himself to people after he was resurrected. And then Luke records in the Gospel of Luke one of these encounters And so that is what we're going to jump into. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, which is through the end of the chapter. Here we go. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I can see that in my mind. These guys are walking, and Jesus, man, look, I'm going to walk with these guys. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Verse 16, but their eyes were kept, or the King James says, beholden from recognizing him. Oh, man, that's powerful. Verse 17, and he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And Jesus said to them, O foolish one, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? I'm going to read this part slowly. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now, they finished a 7-mile journey. Immediately, they reverse course and go 7 miles back where they just came from. And they found the 11, and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Two things I want to address in this remaining time period. First and foremost, the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, is the word of God. The Old Testament is the Bible Jesus used. When Luke records that Jesus opened to these disciples all things concerning himself from the scriptures, he's talking about the Hebrew Bible. Genesis in them. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Don't let Andy Stanley, yeah, bring him into order, Jason. Don't let Andy Stanley fool you. Andy Stanley in his large mega church in Atlanta is trying to rob the people who attend that particular church from the very Bible Jesus used. The Old Testament is the word of God. The New Testament is the word of God. The reference to the suffering servant in Isaiah, the qualifications for the Messiah, the messianic prophecies that were fulfilled in the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is laid out in the Hebrew scriptures. Don't let Andy Stanley or anybody else tell you that you need to unhitch from the Old Testament. When Jesus was queried, you know, in Matthew chapter 22, the Bible says that the Pharisees, seeing that Jesus had stumped the Sadducees, you know, the Sadducees, you know, they were sad, you see. They were trying to twist Jesus up, and they weren't able to do it. Then the Pharisees say, ah, you amateurs, because you guys deny the resurrection of the body anyway. We are going to really ask the questions. So the Pharisees, which were comprised of lawyers, asked questions of Jesus. Said, what would you say is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, well, the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second greatest commandment is likened unto the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he adds this, because on these two hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus didn't come to unhitch from the Old Testament. He came to fulfill it. Man, we are in this mindset with the type of hubris and pride and arrogance that is setting in among some that profess to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ is astounding to me. Those who you know, man, you're new to this. You're a young whippersnapper with Similac behind your ears still, but you're going to now contravene 2,000 years of church history? You now are going to redefine what is sin. I say it on a regular basis. Romans 15, verse 4. You know it. I quote it all the time. When the Apostle Paul says that things that are written aforetime are written for our learning and through the patience and the comfort of Scripture, we might have hope. Well, what is Paul talking about? The Hebrew Bible. The first 39. I mean, come on, man. Lord, wake us out of this stupor. Because we are laboring under an invidious and insidious attack to where people are seeking to undermine the authority of God's word on all fronts. You know, threats foreign and domestic. The Hebrew Bible is the word of God. Jesus himself in resurrected form walked these men through the entire Old Testament and revealed himself to them in the scriptures. Second thing I want to say, that I believe the Bible is intentional in conveying to us that, a familiarizing yourself so much so, well, let me say it this way. Reducing the Lord God Almighty to anything other than his full, robust majesty can result in us missing God, even though he's right next to us. They are walking with Jesus and don't recognize him as their Lord. Even when they talked about who he was, when Jesus said, well, what things are y'all talking about? And Cleopas spoke up and said, man, you the only one that didn't know what happened in Jerusalem? There was a man who was a prophet. Now, here's the thing. Jesus revealed himself to be far more than a prophet. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. But because, and I can understand this, I'm not trying to come down on these men. I can understand they have witnessed his gruesome brutalization and his crucifixion. I can understand how they would be downcast. But Jesus said, oh, how foolish of heart, how slow are you to believe the prophets? Jesus was far more than a prophet. Please do not be one of those who has a perfect church attendance record, but you still do not live as though he is Lord of all. Your lifestyle is not defined by a Messiah-centered, gospel-centered reverence from the Lord, that you treat the King of Glory like he's the buffet line. You know how people do in buffet lines. Oh, I'll take some of that, but I don't want any of that. I'll take a little bit of that, but I don't want any of that. If he is truly Lord, we have surrendered our rights. This is not a buffet line like the Lord told Ezekiel. Eat the whole scroll. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for reproof and instruction. Today is the day, folks, we're living today. If you haven't noticed yet, it's a full-on assault on the body. We must be anchored in the rock that is higher than who we are. And the robustness, the stability of that anchor will turn on whether or not he is to you just a prophet, or whether or not he's Lord. Because the reality is, he hasn't really left us much wiggle room in that consideration.
Undercover videos may end abortion funding. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. On the eve of the recent March for Life, a federal court of appeals ruled that the state of Texas can block Medicaid funding to abortion providers. The court also returned the case to the district court for further consideration. This decision was based on the facts demonstrated in the undercover abortion videos. The videos showed a gross lack of accepted medical and ethical standards. The appeals court agreed with the state of Texas that Planned Parenthood doesn't deserve state funding. Abortion providers were caught callously selling the tiny organs of unborn babies on video. They were illegally profiting off of the murders of innocent lives. One of the creators of these important videos is Liberty Counsel's client, Sandra Merritt. The recent ruling demonstrates the importance of her journalistic work. Life is precious. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
What are we to do? It's a question I hear often in this politically correct environment. This is Jim Garlow. First and foremost, we can't allow ourselves to be intimidated into doing nothing and saying nothing. The very nature of spiritual warfare is that there is no peaceful coexistence. This means we're responsible to call evil for what it is. We have a moral duty to bear witness to the truth, both the good news and, yeah, the bad news. There's forgiveness and transformation in Christ to all who believe on Him, but there's also a day of wrath to come for all outside of Him. Our confidence is the power of the truth of Christ's Word, so we the church simply need His boldness and perseverance to hold it forth, to speak truth in love, to be biblically correct. There's more on being well-versed at jimgarlow.com. We'll do our part, keeping you informed at jimgarlow.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Nancy Pelosi will never give President Trump a platform for the State of the Union address. She knows the president would use it to shame the Democrats for their stubbornness on the wall. The president should rent the Capital One Center in D.C. where the NBA's Washington Wizards play and deliver the speech from there. He should invite all America to come so the place is packed to the rafters with people wearing MAGA hats. There should be 535 chairs set up right down in front, half for congressional Republicans and half for Democrats. The nation could see at a glance which party refuses even to listen to our president talk to the nation about the state of our union. He can then send a copy of his speech to both the House and Senate as his formal State of the Union address. There's not a single thing Nancy Pelosi could do about any of that.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We're just dealing in the first segment with the ridiculousness of the claim that we need to unhitch from the Old Testament. We need proper exegesis, yes, of course, but unhitch? No. Utterly ridiculous. Anyway, moving right along. So and I'm telling you some of the things I do for this program. So I took it upon myself. I'm going to have to do a lot of this in the next coming year to do two things. First, I listened to the entire speech made by Senator Kamala Harris, that's how she says her name, from Oakland, California, when she announced her candidacy for the presidency. And she took a step further than some of the other folks, you know, Kirsten Gillibrand, Elizabeth Warren, and others have said they've started exploratory committees. Well, Kamala Harris says, forget that. We're going to just start the campaign now. And then last night, CNN hosted a town hall event with Kamala Harris, moderated by Jake Tapper. And now I'm just gonna tell you guys, based on, and as I'm thinking this about to say it, I should have known that. But I read about the events before I watched them. Okay, I read write-ups on them. I read articles. I endeavored to read information from all sides of the political spectrum to try to be as informed as possible. And based on Bob, it was torture. Bob on Facebook commented, that must have been torture, man. It was terrible. But I read about her and the way that the media wrote, and I said, man, see, this is what the media does. The way that they wrote about her, you would have thought, whew, I'm about to witness some Apollos level oratorical skills here. You know, and I remember where I was in my small apartment in Houston, Texas, when Chicago State Senator Barack Obama spoke in 2004 at the Democrat National Convention. And I remember listening to him speak and thinking, man, this guy is a good speaker. And I learned from that moment that he's very good at delivering a prepared speech. Impromptu, not so much. But so based on the writings, I was expecting Kamala Harris to be, you know, kind of Obama level orator. And then when I listened to her, I was like, is this it? I mean, you gotta be, this has to be the warm up. And I'm like, that's gonna be the warm up. This is 35 minutes in. Like, goodness gracious. And then when I watched the town hall event, she said some of the exact same things. Now I know it's politics. So, okay. So some of the themes she may hit may be repetitive. All right, no problem. But man, listening to her, and this is just what I've been saying the entire time, folks, we have witnessed you want to talk about fundamental transformation, the fundamental transformation of a Democrat Party from whatever it used to be to being now the overt Socialist Party of the United States of America. Listening to Kamala Harris, it's obvious that she was endeavoring to fend off would-be challengers who would try to attack her from the left, you know, in the Democratic primary. And some of you are thinking, the left, what's further? I mean, is there any more room on the left? And the answer to that is no. I mean, it is obvious that the Democrat Party has gone full-on radical socialist, you know, and that's why there's so much hand-wringing amongst those who are Democrat aristocracy at the prospect of Howard Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks, running as an independent, because they know full well that because the Democrat Party has gone so far into regressivism, so far left, that there's a huge vacuum between where the majority of the American people are and where the Democratic Party's base is. So there's room for someone who would present themselves as a center-left candidate to enter the fray, and they would siphon votes away from the Democrat nominee, which would lead a path to President Trump's reelection, which is why President Trump is the boy. He cracks me up sometimes. President Trump tweeted, Howard Schultz doesn't have the guts to run for president. I think he's baiting him. I think he's trying to get him to run because he knows if Schultz runs, his road to reelection would be easier. Very, very similar to the way that Ross Perot split the Republican votes that allowed Bill Clinton to be reelected, but leaving that aside for the moment, that I want you to hear for yourself some of the things that Kamala Harris has said, because I've said on this program right here, you can talk about ignoring or the low-hanging fruit with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but the Democrat Party has embraced all of her ideas. I mean, the Green New Deal, Kamala Harris embraced it wholeheartedly. You know, all of these various issues, I wanted to give you a flavor of what Kamala Harris said at this town hall event. You like your private insurance for your medical insurance? You might want to pay attention to what Kamala Harris is saying. Please play clip number one.
You support the Medicare for All bill, I think, initially co-sponsored by Senator Bernie Sanders. You're also a co-sponsor on it. I believe it will totally eliminate private insurance. So for people out there who like their insurance, they don't get to keep it?
Well, listen, the idea is that everyone gets access to medical care. And you don't have to go through the process of going through an insurance company, having them give you approval, going through the paperwork, all of the delay that may require. Who of us has not had that situation where you got to wait for approval and the doctor says, well, I don't know if your insurance company is going to cover this? Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on. Jake Tapper asked her very clearly. Now, I understand there's some people who want Medicare for All. But what about, this is what he said, what about those people who like their private insurance? Would that be done away with too under your plan? And she basically said, yes. Let's do away with that. Let's move on. What? So wait a minute. So here's the thing, folks. I said a long time ago, and I know this sounds like a beating a dead horse, but when Obamacare was presented, I said earlier on, before I was even on the radio, I said, oh, they're presenting this as an intermittent stopgap measure to show that government medical insurance can't work unless it's a Medicare for all system. Because if you have people who have the option not to participate, then they won't participate. And in order to pay for this monstrosity, it has to have everyone participating. So you just heard her. Jake Tapper asked her very plainly. That is the elimination of private insurance. So you won't even give people the option? And her response is, let's move on. Who needs some stinking private insurance? We got government to take care of it all. So you going to DMV everybody's health insurance? Like, let that sit in for a moment, folks. This isn't just crazy Bernie Sanders offering his bill with no supporters. Like, you realize it was like about 5 or 6 years ago, Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All bill did not get one supporter in the Democrat Party, not one co-author. And today it's the mainstream position of the entire flock of would-be candidates for the presidential nomination. Folks, we're here. This is not about to happen. We're here. It goes further. Oh, you know the thing called the Constitution? You know that amendment that's number 2, the Second Amendment, that probably is necessary at some point to make sure we get to keep our First Amendment. Senator Kamala Harris has some interesting things to say about that, too. Please play clip number 3.
We have got to have smart gun safety laws in this country, and we've got to stop buying this false choice. You can be in favor of the Second Amendment and also understand that there is no reason in a civil society that we have assault weapons around communities that can kill babies and police officers.
You already know. You heard that bell. A rang a lang a lang. So I hate the word salad that they employ. You know, the whole thing, immigrants, as if there's no distinction between illegal immigrants and legal immigrants. And this reference to assault weapons. That's an effort to describe all firearms as if they are fully automatic weapons. Fully automatic weapons are already illegal in the country. So what are they talking about? Assault weapons. Because if you think about it, what weapon is incapable of any type of assault? I mean, it's just, it's word salad, but they used to play a song at the Saints game. Here we come to get you. They coming. These people don't want you to be able to protect yourself. The thing that's so ironic, they complain about law enforcement being overbearing, being, you know, too emphatic, but they want law enforcement to be the only people with guns. And nobody smells a rat in this whole phenomenon. This is ridiculous. And I've shared already the statistics on this show. The overwhelming majority of murders in our country that are perpetrated with firearms, you know, the primary weapon that's used? Handguns, not rifles, not shotguns, not AR-15s, handguns. But they won't say that. So today is just a day to let everybody know that the Socialist Party is here. She had more to say. You know that whole wall thing? Kamala Harris isn't going to negotiate even in a 3-week renewal of the government being open. Listen to clip number 2.
Would you be willing to vote for a bill, a compromise piece of legislation that includes money for the border wall that you called his medieval vanity project?
Who is going to vote for a medieval vanity project?
It wouldn't say that in the bill. It wouldn't say it in the bill. Would you be willing to vote for some border security money, wall money, barrier money, to give permanent protection to DACA children, DACA young people like Cecilia? Would you be willing to make that exchange?
Let me be very clear. I'm not going to vote for a wall under any circumstances.
Not under any circumstances. And before I get on the wall thing, I forgot to make this point. It just came back to me. Did you hear when she was talking about the need to basically confiscate weapons? She said, yeah, because we don't need to have our babies getting killed. I'm like, really? You're the ones that celebrate, you know, the blood governor in New York. You know, you're the ones that say stuff like, I don't, you know, if my daughter happens to what former President Obama fornicate and get pregnant, like it's not like pixie dust just falls down from above. Wouldn't want her punished with a baby. These are the same ones. I'm just like, man, these people. The ridiculousness is so on full display. And now getting to the wall, they don't want to negotiate. And she says, who will vote for his medieval vanity project? I'm saying the same senators who voted for the wall in 2006. The same ones who voted for it in 2013. They've been voting for walls before you were in the Senate, Senator Kamala Harris. I mean, come on. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, if that's not enough for you, I'll move right on to something else. And you might think this is a little coinky-dink. But this is not a coinky dink. Yeah, let's talk about it. Did you know the United States House of Representatives Natural Resource Committee, which is now chaired by the Democrat Party, the new Democrat majority has proposed a draft set of rules to change the way things function on that committee. Among the changes, the first thing I just want to mention is that they're getting rid of any reference to the chairman being a chairman. He has to be a chair, you know, the chair of the committee instead of the chairman of the committee, because, you know, that's not gender inclusive. Let us make sure we are inclusive with our gendering and our terminology. But that's not enough. Oh, no. The new Democrat chair has now proposed an amendment to the oath that witnesses would have to take before testifying before the committee. And the new oath will remove the phrase, so help you God. Mm-hmm. So the proposed amendment to the oath before, I want to say it right now, the Natural Resources Committee will now make sure that witnesses are sworn in by saying, do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of law that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, period. Now, before you guys say, wait a minute, Abraham, you're just being ridiculous. That's not a big deal. It's just an oath of affirmation. But I'm saying, oh, no, there's precedent here. The Democrat Party has full-on placed themselves as a Socialist Party of America. House Republican Conference Chair Liz Cheney, Chairwoman Liz Cheney, said that the Democrat Party has really become the party of Karl Marx. Why? Because Marx was an avowed atheist. In spite of his Jewish background, his real name being Moses Mordecai Marx Levy, his contempt for mankind was manifested in him starving to death two of his own children. They removed God from their oath for testimony in this committee. But if you remember back in 2012, we kind of already had an idea what was coming. Please play clip number 4, Mr. Jason.
I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform.
All those delegates opposed, say no. Let me do that again. All those delegates opposed, say no. I guess I'll do that one more time. All those delegates opposed, say no.
Now, you heard with your own ears that in 2012, now, this 6 years ago, they told y'all they didn't want no God reference in their party platform. But some of you thought, they were just playing. Well, you heard the vote yourself. That somehow somebody behind the scenes in the platform promulgation committee, they removed God from their platform. They remove any reference to Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. And so the party bosses realize, oh, this is a bad idea. This is going to be a tight election. Mitt Romney might beat Barack Obama if we don't get this right, and try to correct the platform. And the party delegates didn't want it changed. Folks, this latest iteration of moving God from the committee is just the culmination of the efforts of the Democrat Party to remove God from their party.
Maybe you've been hearing the messages from Preborn asking listeners to join together to help save babies' lives through ultrasound, and you're not sure how to respond. Here's the story of one woman who took that step.
I heard about Mission Preborn just before December of last year and asked my husband if we could give at least $140. Just last week, we received our packet. My husband came in the house and he was telling me, this is our preborn packet, the ultrasounds. I started crying without even seeing them. Not only were there five babies, but one of the moms was having twins. We were just elated for that.
For $140, you can sponsor five ultrasounds, and you'll receive a story and a picture of babies' lives that were spared. All gifts are tax deductible, and 100% of your sponsorship goes to saving babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com.
A call to action from American Family Radio.
There's all kind of difficulty in the world, but as the Word of God says, if your brother's in need and you have it within your ability to respond to their need, how can you claim to have love if you allow them to go without? What greater need is there than the need to live? I know life is rough, but it don't have nothing to do with the baby. Don't kill the baby. Don't wait for preborn campaigns. Don't wait for legislation to be passed in your state legislature. Don't wait till Roe versus Wade is overturned. Respond now. I believe with everything in me that we can end this scourge regardless of what they do in the halls of Congress and the halls of the state legislature. Every single family, every single church, go to the local abortion clinics. Let them know that you have people in your churches, people in your family that are willing to take the babies home. They have families that have been dying to take a child home. Don't kill the babies.
Visit AFR.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. By all accounts, the Clemson Tigers had a fantastic day at the White House, celebrating their national championship with President Trump. The White House mess hall was closed on account of the government shutdown, so President Trump called on the folks at McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, and Domino's. And the Tigers had a feast fit for a king. Big Macs on silver platters. I mean, come on, that's America. But a good many liberals in the mainstream media say the president's fast food feast was racist and unsophisticated. Good Morning America's Michael Strahan said he planned to feed the players lobster and caviar. But I'm not sure what red-blooded American football player would choose fish eggs over a filet-o-fish. And I would really like someone to explain to me how two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun is racist. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk, where, you know, we're not doing much, but just diagnosing the foolishness du jour, you know, the ready diet of foolishness every day. Crazy. We will open the phone lines this segment, so if you'd like to join the program, anything we've discussed so far on the show, whether or not it is Andy Stanley's unfortunate and egregious advice to unhitch from the Old Testament, it's biblically inaccurate, folks. That's just what it is. If you want to talk about the radicalism problem, the socialistic and communistic problem that exists within the American Democrat Party, we can have a conversation about that. We can also talk about the continued expression to delete God from our public discourse that continues to happen over and over again. Any of those topics are available, or if you want to talk about what I'm about to discuss right now, you're welcome to do so. But let me give the number. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That number, once again, is 888-589-8840. You are welcome to call. I'd love to hear from you. And we'll have, you know, a dialogue. We'll chop it up a bit about what's going on in this country. Well, as the calls are lining up, I want to bring this to your attention. This is, I'm just going to tell you now, you're going to be angry. I'm just going to tell you now, the state of Colorado. Yeah, you know that state, the same state that persecuted Jack Phillips, that is still trying to persecute Jack Phillips as soon as he is vindicated by the Supreme Court. Oh, right back at him. Jack Phillips is brought once again before the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, that same state, which I believe has elected a governor who's in a same-sex relationship. There's a bill. House Bill 19-1032. House Bill 19-1032. It's styled as the Youth Wellness Act. Doesn't that sound pretty? The Youth Wellness Act. Well, what's in this act? I'm so glad you asked. This is a bill to establish a comprehensive sexuality education program in the state of Colorado. The Youth Wellness Act specifies that this instruction includes relational and or physical sexual experiences. Now, this is to teach children in school now. And it also requires that LGBT identified individuals must be included in the sexuality education. The program requires educators to, quote, promote youth understanding of sexual activity, sexuality, and sexual orientation as normal parts of human development, and it forbids the employment of gender norms or gender stereotypes, including teaching that there are only two sexes and including that there are gender roles. These ideas are considered stereotypes. House Bill 19-1032 goes on to specify that comprehensive human sexuality education also teaches youth, hear me well, people, also teaches youth about the different relationship models they and their peers may engage in, including lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender peers, and how to be safe, how to be a safe and healthy partner in a relationship, end quote. Y'all hear what I'm telling you? This is what is being proposed in Colorado. Oh, but wait, there's more. The legislation also requires that the state's sex education oversight entity include, means it has to add members, and it has to add at least 7 members who are members of groups of people who have been or might be discriminated against. So that's telling you, Matt, you know what? In addition to the curriculum you have to teach, you have to expand your oversight board to include people who engage in these various, lifestyles. Yeah, this bill codifies, it's a SOGI law, but on a state level, it codifies sexual orientation and gender identity into the Colorado public educational system. And this bill, folks, will be heard on Wednesday. That will be tomorrow, January 30th at 1:30 p.m. in the House Health and Insurance Committee. Now, we at American Family Association, we're working on putting some things together, but if you are in the Colorado area, I would encourage you to get in contact with members of the House Health and Insurance Committee. Now, I'm going to tell you who's on the committee. Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you their names. I'm going to say this real slowly. The committee members are the committee chairperson, the chairwoman, is Representative Susan Lontine. The vice chairwoman is Representative Yadira Caraveo, Representative Janet Buckner, Representative Brianna Titan, I think that's how you pronounce it, Representative Kathy Kipp, Representative Kyle Mulika, and Representative Dominique Jackson. They're all on this committee. This bill will be heard in the committee tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. I think you should let the committee know how you feel about it. I think you should let the committee know whether or not you want your children in Colorado to be subjected to this kind of curriculum. Folks, I'm telling you. You know when the Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small? Folks, the day of adversity is here. The day of adversity, it's here. It is here. Colorado is considering this bill, and it is being presented to this committee tomorrow. I will post details of this legislation on the Hamilton Corner's Facebook page. I will tweet it out on from my Twitter account, at Hamilton Corner, at the Hamilton Corner. Please circulate this with everybody there. It will include information for how you can contact the committee members and let them know how you feel, because, man, this is a full-on assault. I mean, put all of this together, what we talked about today. From 2012, we have recorded documentation of the Democrat Party booing God, booing God on their national platform. We have the Congressional Committee taking God out of the oath for witnesses before the committee. And we have this going on. And don't misconstrue what I'm saying. God is bigger than any of this stuff. But the Lord has determined to operate through his children. And it's time, it's high time for the body of Christ. And Jason said this coming into the studio, man, that the light that we have, man, let's not put that thing under a bushel, man. Let's put it on a lampstand so it's able to give light to the entire house. That is what we need to do. To the phone lines we'll go now. We'll start in Gulfport, Mississippi. Start in Mississippi, where Caesar is on the line. Caesar, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Abe. I just wanted to pass along my experience with the Marriage Family Life Conference last year. My wife and I went, and we had a great time. We got to see you speak. We were very excited about that, but we also got to see Will and Miki Addison, Stacey Washington, and some pro-life speakers over there. And we really enjoyed it. And to the listeners that are out there, I would encourage you, if you're in the area, definitely go and go this year. We hope to make it this year if we can. Since my wife is pregnant, we might be having a baby around that time, but hope to make it over there. So just want to encourage those guys. And also about that stuff with Kamala Harris, that's just ridiculous. When you came back and said, you know, you're the party that's voting on killing babies, and I was in my mind that bell was already ringing, like, man, that's,
yeah,
we were on the same page on that one, Abe.
Yeah,
just want to throw in that plug for you guys.
Oh man, thank you so much for that, Caesar. Now, folks, I didn't know Caesar was going to call and say all of that, but I'm telling you, I don't think you would be disappointed if you come. It's going to be an amazing time, not only hearing the speakers, but just being able to fellowship with people from all over the country. I know some who drove from different places, who came from different places all over the country for the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference. It will take place June 20th through the 22nd at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi. You are hereby cordially invited to attend. It's going to be an amazing time. So, Caesar, thank you so much for your call and your comments. We'll go back to the phone lines now. We'll go to Tennessee next, where Shirley is on the line. Shirley, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm an African-American teacher, and I want you to know that I think that a lot of the teachers right now are still in the dark because many people have not awakened to the truth yet of what's actually going on. And so I'm praying that as people like myself and others send out the word to our friends and things who also teach, we'll be able to stand against a lot of this. And also, I want to thank you for the Don't Kill Your Babies. I've listened to it on the internet so many times. I was so touched and moved by it. It's not that a lot of the women do not know that their babies will be taken by good people to be taken care of. I discovered when I was speaking with one young lady, and she actually voiced this to me. She was 21 years old. But instead, they just feel like it's inconvenient to have their children. So no matter what you offer to her, you could say, and of course we talked and I told her, you know, there are plenty of people who would help her with this. But it's not about that. In her eyes, she just doesn't want the baby to be born because it's not what she wants right now. It's not convenient. She's only 21. You know, they give all these excuses. Yeah. But the end result, I have to preach the truth and tell people, you're going to give an account to God for that. New York is in serious trouble. Colorado legalized drugs. Nothing they do will surprise me after that because they've given the devil a foothold. And the way I see it, New York may have some fire rain down on them. I think all of God's people need to come up out of there. I'm afraid for the city, the state, because what they've done is so egregious and sick. I just see the Lord really being angry. And anybody who calls himself a Christian who can walk through those doors needs to repent, because he said a stern warning. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter. Many will say, Lord, we did nice things and cast out demons, but he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work sin. So what you believe should match what you do. And if it does not, if their works don't match their faith, they're none of his. And so we got to pray. And I thank you for your show, Brother Abraham. We love you and we're listening.
Oh, wow, Shirley. My goodness. Thank you for your call and your comments. And I have to tell you, that video was not my idea. When I tell you I work with some amazing guys, I'm telling you, J Squared, Jason Tross was responsible for creating the video. And then Jeff added some additional graphics to the audio. Jeff Reed did that. And so these guys are amazing. And I really, I know that the Spirit of God moves them to guide us in the direction that we need to be in on this program. And so I thank you for your comments. And it's unfortunate that we have regressed. You hear me talking about regressivism. We've regressed as a society to where we have the luxury of viewing life as merely an inconvenience in many instances. You know, in the video that I shared, man, I know life is hard. I know that. Life is rough on many different fronts. You know, I was talking to some people off the air earlier. As you know, our parents get older. Some of us have cared for older parents. It gets inconvenient, difficult in those scenarios. So, are you suggesting we should just eliminate? And it just reveals a callousness that has set in the hearts of many in our country. And we are in the chief need in America is repentance. America's problem is that we have rebelled against our Lord. Back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Arkansas, where Stephen is on the line. Stephen, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Oh, bless you, Mr. Hamilton, and your crew. What I was wanting to say is my understanding that at time of conception, there's all kinds of changes being made in that egg. All right. That is a sign of life to me. And
not just to you.
Premeditated murder is planning to kill someone, if my understanding's right on that. And this is alive. And they're planning on killing it when it gets here. Why in the world can't they look at that as like premeditated murder? And if you've got anything to say about it, back to me. I'll listen to you off the air because I can't hear through my phone real good, and I got to get my radio back on.
All right, Stephen. Well, thank you for your call and your comments, man. Your comments are well taken. I mean, we understand premeditated murder in every other context. You know, I was talking with some people in the office that Rhode Island is considering passing legislation similar to New York's. And both Rhode Island and New York are states where the death penalty for criminals is inapplicable. So in those states, the only context where the government would intervene with the sentence of capital murder is for a child in the womb. That is ghastly. Ghastly to consider. I'll try to squeeze one more in. We'll go to Georgia where Cole is on the line. Cole, you're the last one for today. Yeah, 15 seconds. Go.
All right. Thanks, man. Thanks for taking my call. It's kind of ironic to me that the Democrats, you know, they're spreading socialism, and they point their fingers at us and call us Nazis, but they fail to remember that the Nazi Party was the National Socialist Party.
Boom. Cole, you're spot on. The Nazi Party was the National Socialist Workers Party. I said before, and I'll say it again now, it seems like we have a modern Nazi party.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.